I'd like to introduce our second speaker. Thank you, Antoinette. George J.
Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at an NA meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not abundance of NA members with substantial claim time or experience with the 12 steps or 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our act of addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, I'm an addict named George. You know, I don't want to thank God for allowing me to get safely over the highways and the byways. You know, I know this is a pretty quick one, and I'm going to speedball through this. Spiritual manipulation. You know, when I was sitting there, because I'm always just trying to bring something to the forefront, and when I do workshops, I jot stuff down, and I sit and listen, and things come to my spirit. And what came to my spirit is, came to believe in a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. And I bought into drugs. And I came to believe that that power, because man is meant to depend on a power greater than itself. Man will worship something greater than itself. Either it'll be negative or it'll be positive, but man will worship. And I came to believe in a negative power greater than me, and it was called drugs. And as a result of drugs, it manipulated me. Because once I love something, when I'm afraid to lose that I love, I will manipulate people, places, and things to hang on to the love that I feel. So I came to believe probably at the age of 15, because at 13, I picked up the substance. And by the time I was 15, I came to believe in that. You know, and I did everything in my power to hold on to the feeling that the drug gave me. See, in the beginning, the drug gave me courage, but in the end, it made me a punk. See, that's the manipulation. That's the spiritual manipulation that the disease of addiction plays on us. And we hold on to it. And a whole lot of other manipulative behaviors come behind that. See, the moment I used drugs, it was the moment I start killing myself. The moment I used was the moment I began to kill my spirit. The moment I used drugs was the moment I start lying to my mother. Because my mother would say, George, how was your day? And I couldn't tell mom I was in the bushes smoking reefer with my cousins. So the disease of addiction began to manipulate me, and I couldn't, because when you're doing wrong, you can't pray. And the longer you do wrong, you become a label in society. That's what the disease of addiction ends up doing to you. It ends up calling you a crackhead, a junkie, a no good for nothing. It manipulated me, and it took away everything positive in me. See, I believe and know that I was born with everything positive and good inside me from the beginning, but as a result of the disease of addiction, it took it away from me. That's why this is called recovery. See, manipulation means to subtly move in another direction. See, when I try to just jot stuff down, and I refer to the stuff that I do, and it ain't no script. You know what I mean? Because words are the vehicle that will move your spirit in one direction or another. See, I love you will move you in a direction. See, the word love is a very powerful word. Words are the vehicle that we operate by. See, when somebody tells me they love me, I feel obligated to them. I do, man. It's a powerful word, man. These words is deep, man. These words will manipulate you and put you in a position. And check out another one, I'll never again. And if you say that type of stuff, I'll never give a man my heart again. I'll never give a woman my heart again. You know, the disease of addiction is work. It is to manipulate you away from the positive force that God put inside of us. See, what I've come to understand, because we're going to talk about the negative aspects of this spiritual manipulation. See, I'm going to tell you something about men and women. See, a man needs to feel respected. And when a man don't feel respected by a woman, a man will go somewhere seeking respect. Or he thinks he's getting something when he ain't getting the respect he feels he needs to get at home. See, I understand why we struggle and have problems today. Because if I don't feel respected, I feel pissed. If I don't feel respected, I don't feel like a man. That's what a man is looking for. And a woman is looking to feel loved. And when a woman don't feel like she's being loved, she'll go looking for love in other places. See, that's the type of stuff I'm in touch with as a result of coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. See, we'll seek out negative or positive ways to feel respect. See, negative ways in order to seek respect is to go get with somebody that loves me or admires me, but I don't really love them. See, the spirit is my indicator, man. I know when I love somebody, and I know when I'm using somebody. See, I had to get in touch with what is my motives. See, what is my motives? See, my motives is the gears. When I know what my motives is about, I know what direction I'm headed in. You see, and I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous just like everybody else. I'm not a perfect recovering addict. None of us are. We'll never be. But I'm an addict striving to be less self-centered and more God-centered. Because that's our goal here, man. Spiritual progress is our goal here. And when I think about spiritual progress, I think about positive stuff in spite of negative stuff in my spirit. See, based on how I'm feeling and how I'm thinking, I'll go into my spirit. And my spirit is my connections, my experiences. My bad experiences and my positive experience triggers things inside of me, man. And the disease of addiction knows that. See, the disease of addiction knows my past, but it don't know my future. And the disease of addiction always got me operating in my past, making me believe the same shit's going to happen to me in my present. And if I feel like some same old shit's going to happen to me in my present, like not feeling respected by my woman, I'll go looking for somebody else that's going to respect me. And found out that, like I heard Mustafa say, you always think grass is greener on the other side, but you get over there and find out it's artificial turf. See, because our need to be loved and accepted is our drive. My need to be loved and to be accepted was my drive in the beginning. My need to be loved and accepted is still my drive today. It's how I go about being loved and how I go about seeking my acceptance. When I begin to accept myself for who I was, when I begin to love myself for real, not talk about loving myself, but love myself for real, because I know we some awesome shit-talking people. We talk a lot of shit. But the third step, that's the proof. See, I want to see, because now I want to talk about a little stuff about the positive aspect. See, because the 12 steps, basically, God took what we use as addicts as manipulation and manipulated us to get better. Because that's what the program of Narcotics Anonymous really does. It ends up manipulating you, and the words are the vehicle that moves us in the positive direction. See, I didn't know who was an addict in the beginning. I didn't know what the hell an addict was. I always believed an addict was somebody with track marks, dirty clothes, all ran over shoes, see? And as a result of my distorted belief of what an addict was, it kept my spirit corrupt. But once I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and I found out that an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs, I could identify that. I start feeling better, knowing that it wasn't a moral deficiency, man. See, these words begin to empower my spirit and begin to move me in a positive direction. I had to come to believe in a power greater than me that could restore me to sanity. And it got to be loving, caring, and understanding. And it got to be tangible. And it was you. You people. Because what I've come to understand, we can't give each other nothing but hope. That's the only spiritual principle that we can put in each other. All the other ones got to come from God. You know what I'm saying? So we give each other hope in this process that we can get better, that we can let go and let God. See, we hear all these slogans, but we're afraid to let go and let God. But I'm telling you something, the basic text is a powerful book. See, in the third step, in the flat book, or the step working guide, they said the progress, the manipulation. The third step said there's a spiritual progress from hope to faith to trust in the third step. Then it said the principle of commitment is accumulation of spiritual process in step three. That means if I begin to live the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm going to be slowly manipulated back to where I need to be, to my original state. See, we talk about recovery in this process. See, steps three, put you in line. Step seven, get you back in line. And step 11, maintains the connection. That's right. And that's what I've come to understand as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. See, the person that continues to look out daydreams But the person that goes inside, spirits awakens. See, it's the journey that you got to go on the inside to end up awakening the spirit. And I've come to understand that as a result of coming to this room, just sitting here. See, I'm going to tell you some information is all out in the atmosphere. It's just like air. We know it's there. And you got to seize the moment and grab it. See, I'm always trying to grab physical things and not spiritual things. Spiritual things are all around us. And we don't even see them. We can't even grab them. And a lot of the spiritual things are already inside of us. I was just afraid to go in there and get them. I was afraid to be who I really am. And as a result of this program, and as a result of seeing some living examples of some people that have been willing to be themselves. Not perfect people, but human beings. Because this thing is tricky, this Narcotics Anonymous shit. Because this shit will take you, move you past. This will move you past being, you see, you come from being an addict to being cruddy to being spiritual. And you forget about being human. And our fear of being human allows us to get manipulated. See, the disease of addiction, well, there ain't no perfect recovering addict here. And I'm sitting here talking perfect shit, but I ain't perfect by no means necessary. But they said as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, we get long periods of peace. Brother Tyrone came up to me, brother that spoke last night on artificial faith, counterfeit faith. And he said, brother, I've been watching you and I ain't never heard nothing bad about you. And I said, all I do is try to live right. See, I never believe. See, we always think you got to come to this podium with some drama. See, God has allowed me to be in a position. I've been married for 21 years to my wife. Been faithful to her for 14. I did my shit in the first couple years because it was, look, they said, check it out. They said, the spiritual aspect of this, like the spiritual aspect of our disease, the loneliness and the emptiness. You know, they say it's very hard for us to work the program in this area of our lives. And in that area of my life is where I make bad decisions. When the loneliness and the emptiness set in, I want to manipulate, see, because there ain't no shortcuts. A shortcut is a setback. It is. You know what I mean? It's about doing the work. It's about trusting in God. See, my fear is it's going to take too damn long. It's always been my fear. It's going to take too long. And if I think something's going to take too long, I'm going to start manipulating. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to start manipulating. I'm going to try to, because look, my battle always has been and always will be is my self-centeredness. See, until you get honest that you're self-centered, you can't stop being self-centered. See, self-centered is something that's, it's like, it's in us. We can't avoid it. This physical self-centeredness, mental and spiritual self-centeredness, and it can show up at any given time. And that's why the fellowship, and that's why it's so important to have people in your life to love you, man, to put you back online, man, when you're being self-centered. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my wife because it takes a good woman to help a man stay in his position. You know, me and my man Broadway did a meeting in Louisville not too long ago, and I did the men's rap. And what I've come to find out, when you start using drugs, and y'all done all heard that, you stop growing spiritually and emotionally the moment you picked up. You know what I mean? So when you come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we physically look like grown folks, man. But emotionally and spiritually, we ain't. Because when a little boy and a little girl don't think they're going to get what they want, they start manipulating. They start lying. You know, and I know why I do that stuff, because I've come up with more times than I got caught. That's why this disease, no, it plays the numbers with us, man. It says, man, you got over more than you got caught. But they say the price is too high now. Because if you ain't using, man, the price, I smell like fried meat. I smell like pork. This is driving me crazy. The price is too high, man. That's why, you know, God orchestrated this program. He said, in order to recover, you got to be clean. Because my old sponsor said, you ain't never done it until you've done it clean. He said, you need to feel the full impact of that shit you're doing. And if you really feel it, you might not do it anymore. God knows that's why we got to be clean in order to stop manipulating, to stop lying. See, our first step said we got to let go of everything about the way we think or go back to using. See, sometimes we sit around doing our everything might take 10, 15 years to show up. But we got to be willing to do what this program suggests we do when it does. The seventh step. Because it's a workshop. The seventh step. In the seventh step, we focus on surrender. No, that ain't the one. In time, we will find that God has worked in our lives. We may even be startled by the level of maturity or spirituality we have demonstrated in handling a situation that in years past would have had us acting very unspiritual. One day we will realize that some of the ways we used to have act became as alien as spiritual principles were when we first started practicing them. After such a revelation, we may begin to think about the person we were when we first came to NA and how little of a resemblance of that person we are now. See, I'm telling you something. There's laws in this stuff, man. I'm always looking at legal shit as laws. You know, I'm always looking at stuff that will send me to jail. I ain't looking at the stuff that's going to hurt me spiritually, man. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff that will hurt us spiritually, man. You know, and I try to ignore that stuff. So I'm glad that I'm not the person that I was when I first came here. See, a law that I was breaking was denying how I was feeling. See, when I deny how I feel about something, you know, I just broke a law that's going to kill my spirit. And I've always broke the law before I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because I was afraid you might not like me if I told you how I really felt about something. See, the disease of addiction locks us down, and it got us back in there, and it, like, we live in it, man. That's why they say we suffer from the disease of addiction. And you got to get tired of suffering. See, freedom ain't nothing but a freedom is what you make it.
That's right.
And I really understand that. Because there's a man on the Niger River or the Nile River in Africa, got his family, and all if he catch a deer and feed his family, he's happy. And that's freedom and happiness for him. I don't think we like that shit, though. Freedom and happiness is what we produce, and what makes us feel free is what we create for ourselves, man. So you know what? I'm happy, joyous, and free, and my freedom comes based on my willingness to stand on what I believe in. And I was talking about me in Broadway, man. Being a man is a role when you've been a little boy. You got to get into that role. It ain't something we got now. We look the role, but we don't know how to play the role. So it takes a man to teach a boy how to be a man. You know what I mean? So you know what? I seen some men in this fellowship playing a role, and I got in a role, and then you play the part, and if you stand, you can be the part. See, I'm a man today as a result of the help that I get from my wife. I'm a man today as a result of the help that I get from the men that I put around me. See, I put spiritual men around me. Now, we talk about booties, titties, and ass. Yeah, we talk about all the same things everybody else talk about. See, I found out, man, my freedom, if I stay in some boundaries. See, when I cross boundaries, I got to lie and con and be afraid and be paranoid. See, I make myself crazy still living in my old value system. And then you're like, I shared this before. Are you still running off the residue that you came in off the streets with? Because the residue is going to have your spirit corrupt. You know, a lot of us, we come in and we still run off the residue, man. You know what I mean? Pimp, hustler, and hoe. That's the residue, man. And he's talking about, this is supposed to be about spiritual progress. Ain't no spiritual hoes and spiritual pimps. So if you're still thinking like that, you're still running off the residue, man. I wanted to be a pimp, hoe, and hustler, but it wasn't who I truly was, man. See, when you fucked up and can't sleep right, you know, you messing up your spirit, man. The book is powerful, man. The book said when I don't meet my personal responsibility, it lowers my self-esteem. All I got to do is be responsible, man. I got to be responsible for my feelings. I got to be responsible for my spirit. I got to be responsible for the mistakes that I've made. I got to be responsible for the decisions that I make. This is a deep thing, though, man. You can get so spiritual that you become self-centered, though. It happened to me, man. I remember, you know, I get opportunities to carry the message a couple times, you know. You know, I'm so self-righteous in my beliefs. You know, I don't cheat. And, you know, I'm so goddamn, I don't cheat. You know, I ain't trying to, I don't want to do the pain. I know what it feels like to be cheated on.
Come on.
I know what it feel like. It don't feel good, Clayne. It don't feel good, man. It hurts like hell. See, I don't know, because I ain't into hurting people. Intentionally. See, I had to redefine what was cool. It ain't cool to cheat on your woman. Love don't hurt. People thought love don't hurt, man. See, because if you got a distorted perception of a word, it's going to keep messing you up. That's why we need dictionaries and we need people to tell us the correct versions of words. Love does not hurt intentionally, man. And I was intentionally hurting my wife, man, when I came in the rooms of Narcotics. Because I did the wild thing like we do. Because of my need to be accepted and loved. But I had to sit still for a minute, evaluate my true value. I really want to be a good guy. I want to be a good guy. I want to be a single. I want to be a one-woman man. And it's hard in this fellowship. Because some of us never got the attention that we get now that we came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard. Look, it's hard, man. People looking at you and hugging on you and admiring you, man. That shit wasn't happening in the streets. Then you come to Narcotics Anonymous, and some of these pretty women is looking at you two and three times, and some of them talking about, yeah, I'll dance. Look, the dance piece, man. The dance fucked me up. You know, just to come in, some girls just enough, because you remember them days when, this is why, you know, spiritual manipulation, what was killing our spirits, that bullshit that we came in here with. Because I remember the black light parties. And I remember, like the pretty red bone. Because I'm going to tell you something, for us men, a man want to feel respected. That's all. He ain't got to be loved. Just be respected. You know what I mean? This is disrespect. You know, the red bone, she chair dancing. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of emotional courage to ask somebody. Because we'll ask for help to kill ourselves, but we won't ask for help to live. It's deep, man. And you go over and you ask her, and she look you up and down. And say, I don't feel like dancing. And then on the next dance, she dancing with this light-skinned motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That's soul murder, man. Yeah, man. It's that type of stuff, man. It's that type of stuff that blocks us from moving to the positive. I'm serious. It's that fear, that stuff. I mean, I work with guys, man. I'm saying, look, everything ain't rejection. See, when I begin to understand, you got to really get in touch with who's an addict. We know the drug shit. Because I ain't got no drug problem till I pick up drugs. That's when I got a drug problem, when I pick that shit up. It's my past, man. Believing this couldn't really happen to me again. That's my problem. It's my oversensitive ego is my problem. It's my issues that I ain't let nobody know is my problem, man. That's why we do the step work. Man, because the third step, man, you're setting yourself up to get with God. You know what I mean? Then you do the fourth step, and you feel good. When you do the fifth step, you start getting some self-acceptance. Then you get to the sixth step. See, we all base our whole existence on how we feeling. Yeah. Not on what we doing. So I got to, look, if I feel like I'm doing the right thing, like I said, I was speaking, and I'm staying in a room with single women, and I'm a married man. So I'm so self-righteous in my shit. I slept in this bed. They got dressed in the bathroom. We was carrying the message. You know, it's self-centeredness. My wife said, and like it was one of her sponsees, and my sponsor said, boy, you got a good husband. I can't believe you just let... My wife was like, what? Yeah. What? That's why the second step is the key to ongoing recovery, man. You can't leave the second step, man. You know what I mean? You'll find yourself feeling good and think you're doing good, and you hurting people that you love. My wife said, you married. How that look? I said, fuck how it look. What am I? No, how? It hurt her. See, I know recovery ain't nothing about making mistakes and working real hard not to make them again. Self-acceptance, Pamphlet says, a spiritual understanding of self-acceptance is knowing that it's all right to find ourselves in pain and to have made mistakes and to know that we're not perfect. That's it. We're going to make some mistakes in this shit. The book said just make some new ones. The book said, man. I came in here, and you know, I came in and I did the void came, and I tried to fill the void with all the old stuff like everybody else. And we all do the same shit here. We just want to be loved and accepted, man, and we try to do it through old ideas, man. And through those old ideas, it keeps fouling up our spirit. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And the disease is right here, and it keeps manipulating, say, what if? If only. And just one more time. See, that's the setup. That's the setup, man. So, you know, I thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God that clean time ain't what it's about. This ain't what it's about. This is not recovery. This ain't nothing but a form of the 12th step. This ain't entertainment. I am not all that. And the rest of these addicts that come up here and share ain't all that. Right. Wendell said it right. We come here to further carry the message for the group. It ain't about the individual. So you know what? We like the drama. I ain't going to try to be in none. And you know, I've got an opportunity to do this shit all over the country, drama-free. Right. See, but you know, I ain't got no drama in my life, and it seems like you ain't got no drama, you got a boring message. See, because spiritual joy takes time. We're trapped by the need for instant gratification. See, words are the vehicle. See, marriage is a spiritual thing. See, marriage is spiritual. Spiritual stuff take time. See, until I'm, see, I had to respect myself before my wife would respect me. See, because when you're fooling with one of us, you're fooling with somebody totally self-centered until they start practicing principles. We're totally self-centered until we start practicing principles. We are, man. Until we learn to love ourselves, we can't love nobody else. You know, the man had to learn to love myself in my marriage, man. I'm going to tell you how I was able to do that. When I seen men love me. See, when I let the walls down and let some men see me cry. When I let some men see me vulnerable. When I knew the boys didn't laugh at me, I said, fuck the girls, I can do it now. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Our predecessors know what they was talking about. When they say the boys with the boys, and the girls with the men with the men, and the women with the women. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Manipulation. Spiritual manipulation. See, friends don't fuck. Friends don't fuck. I'm her friend.
That's right.
But I really want to fuck. See? And then when she fucks somebody else, I'm resentful. Because I wasn't honest from the beginning. Yeah, spiritual manipulation. We play this friend game, the coffee game. We use this NA language. This is spiritual seduction. You know the basic text. It'll seduce a newcomer. Because we think recovery, somebody said earlier, Melvin said, we think recovery is a motherfucker dressed up real nice. That ain't recovery. Recovery is your third step. Check out your recovery. We in Ocean City. Beautiful women. Beautiful men. I ain't with my woman. Put my life on video and audio for the whole weekend. I'm human. I'm looking. But put my life on video and audio. Take the tape out and give it to my wife. Do she still want to cuddle with me? That's a sign of a good third step. Yeah, she look and I look. You know, but it ain't about... See, this is a spiritual thing, man. Me and my sponsor was talking about it. I said, boy, you got it bad this weekend. See, because... I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Men got a thing inside of them. We just do. We're going to look, but it's about respect. You know what? I'm telling you something. How I stay faithful to my wife is because my wife respects me. I know my wife respects me, and because then I know she loves me. And I know my wife respects me because she knows I love her. It ain't about what I say. It's what she feels. Because we feeling people, man. We base everything on how we feel. That's why I've been able to stay married for 21 years, because my wife knows I love her. Even though she may talk shit, but she feels that connection. See, when we feel something, we'll stay with something. So we stayed with drugs so long. Now, I'm going to step on toes now. When we start having sex with people we don't know, you leave a part of your spirit with them. And they ain't worth a fuck, but you can't let go. Because it takes a while. You can physically let go. It takes a little while to mentally let go. But to spiritually let go, it takes quite a while. And if you let loneliness and emptiness control you, you'll go back to what if only, right back into denial. Yeah, man. It ain't refusal. It's spiritual. Spiritual stuff be going on. So when we be having sex, we be touching spirits, man. It's two spirits touching, man. Then you wonder why. And then you, because we have sex and then figure people out. I mean, by the time we didn't deposit something, and we jammed up. Now we can't let go. They say we can't let go. This is a workshop, spiritual manipulation. You're just doing some work, man. I got the 5 minutes time. Am I done? I got a couple more minutes. Sign. 11th step. 3, 7, and 11 will keep you going. It'll shift your dependency from people, places, and things over to a loving God. God set this fellowship up. He know what he was doing. He manipulating us, man. He talking about, look, if we come to believe in a positive power greater than us called God, won't be no more manipulation. It's like the sister said, once your spirit is shifted, you can't do some of the shit you used to could do. You're going to think about doing it, but the price is too high. The price is too high today, man. Level step. I don't know if this shit made no sense. They say our spirituality has been developing since we first came to NA. We are constantly changing. And so is our spirituality. New territory, new people, and new situations have their effect on us. And our spirituality needs to respond. Our spirituality needs to respond. Not our physicality, not our intellect, but our spirituality needs to respond. That means, because your spirituality is your center. If you worship money, that's your center. If you worship sex, that's your center. If you worship God, that's your center. And if your spirituality, if you worship God, you're going to respond like God would have you respond. In spite of your disease telling you to respond another way. So, it was an honor and a privilege for me to come to CNP to do the workshop on spiritual manipulation. I don't know if you got nothing, but I'm going to do one more thing and I'm going to get out of here. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a gift of God. You are playing small. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You were born to make and manifest the glory of God that's within you. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And we let our own light shine. We unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. If we let our own light shine, we'll give other people permission to their light to shine. That means we won't be hating up in this joint. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's our message, man. Each one teach one. Let's set each other free. Quit hating. Create an atmosphere of recovery. We're going to be world changers. I think somebody else said it earlier. Let your light shine. Thanks for allowing me to share. I'm going to keep coming back.